grateful for that. Thank you very much. I had my own copy of that I was going to read tonight, not sing, but read. I guess I will forego that now and put to melody. It's even prettier than it is just written out. Earthly pleasures vainly call me. I would be like Jesus. Nothing worldly shall enthrall me. I would be like Jesus. What a song. What a song. Have you all sung that before? You have. I thought it was maybe a brand new one. But praise the Lord. A lot of songs out there. Amen. And a lot of good ones. There's some you have to watch out for, but there are good ones too. In your book, in your Bible tonight, Psalms chapter 37, we're going back a ways as we think on the subject of I would be like Jesus. I would be like Jesus. I wonder tonight, how many times have you said to yourself, whether you were alone or you were with a company, whether you said it silently to yourself or boasted it or no, that's not the right word. Said it loud enough that other people could hear you. Have you ever said, I would be like Jesus? Have you ever prayed to be like Jesus? Have you ever desired to be like Jesus? And then I guess another question would be, how long has it been since you said anything along the lines of, I would be like Jesus? I believe that the scriptures teach that the more we're like Jesus, the better off we are with heaven anyway. I know that there's a price to pay, and we're going to mention some of that, to be like Jesus. And in some ways, the price is very, very high. I think of people that have died to preach the gospel. I think of people who have refused to renounce Christ while preaching the gospel and therefore gave their lives in very much of a sacrifice. I think of Stephen. I can't think of a much worse, unless it would be burning, I can't think of a much worse way to die than being stoned to death. And Stephen did that because he wanted to be like Jesus, and he just had that desire. So consider some things with me tonight as we go through the thought of I would be like Jesus. And maybe we'll mention some things that perhaps you've missed along the way. Maybe there's some things you haven't thought of along the way. And it sure would be a good thing to get the neighborhood saying, you know, those people are like Jesus. That'd be a good thing. And I trust that we'll consider that. So in Psalms chapter 37, beginning in verse number 1, I know it's very familiar, but bear with me as we read down through here. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You know, Jesus was never jealous. Never jealous. And here the Bible, and I don't mean to preach through this, but it's hard not to stop and just fret not because of evildoers. A lot of the worrying that we do as American citizens and born-again believers in America today is that a lot of the pressures put on us because of evildoers and our thoughts towards them. And let me just say this about the evildoers. The difference between them and us is Jesus. That's the difference. Verse number 2. For they shall soon... They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. You want to be like Jesus? Trust also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forget wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I trust God will bless the reading of his word tonight, and bless the preaching of it. Being like Jesus is a costly thing. People who have tried and successfully been like Jesus have been chastened for that severely, severely. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs and some of those things, and if I were to die for Jesus, I'd want to die the way, not necessarily in the method they did, but with the attitude that they had. Just not doing anything that would cause the Lord shame and just doing what was necessary to keep on keeping on. If you're to be like Jesus, you're going to face a lot of correction. People are going to tell you that's not the way it's supposed to be done. They're going to tell you that you can't do it that way. After all, this is 2023. This isn't 1700 or something. You can't do it. You're going to have a lot of correction, a lot of interrogation even. And then there's going to be some crushing. You know, crushing, as I think of crushing, it's usually something that's brought on by people that you love and respect. And I'm telling you tonight that they can hurt you worse than any enemy could ever hurt you. And so we need to understand it's going to cost you. If you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to have to quit praying for an easy life, because Jesus didn't have an easy life. Foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And we need to understand that if we're going to have a life like Jesus, it's going to be a life that's not easy. It's going to be a life that calls upon us. It demands of us things that heretofore we probably never dreamed that we'd ever have to do, and things we'd have to give up. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 11, the Apostle Paul, who I believe lived his life like Jesus in many ways, he says, not that I speak in respect. In fact, let me back up. Philippians was written from a jail cell. Not a jail cell with a comfortable bed, a colored TV, an exercise room, a radio, stereo, headphones, walk in the park anytime they wanted it. No, that's not the place that the Apostle Paul was put in incarceration at. He was in prison when he wrote this, and he says, not that I speak in respect of want. Man, I just want a home-cooked meal. I just want to be able to get outside and get past the length of this chain that's around my foot, or get out of the stocks that I'm in. We find him in the book of Philippians. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. The Apostle Paul said the road to being like Jesus is not an easy road. It's a road that's going to call as a cost. But you know, learning this secret, learning to be content with wherever we're at and whatever's going on, whatever God has allowed to come into our life, I believe it'll accomplish some things in our life. Number one, and not necessarily in these orders, but it'll keep you cool in a hot place. You know, I've been known for having quite a temper. And it's God's grace that it didn't take me to a lot of places that I wouldn't like to have gone. But I noticed that the closer I am to Jesus, the more I fellowship with him, the more I look to him, the easier it is to stay cool in hot places. Places that would have set me off like a rocket years ago, and not so many years ago. Now I find that I, by God's grace, am kept cool. Make you sweet in a sour place. I know that life isn't always bubbly for you. I understand that. I know that from time to time, you probably think that the preacher doesn't keep up and doesn't know, and he doesn't have all the inside information. I don't have all the inside information. I know I don't, and nor would I want I don't think, to know anything that I didn't believe was delivered to me by the Lord Jesus. But I know this. I know some of you sometimes walk in a very sour place. And learning to be on your way to be like Jesus will help you to be sweet in a sour place. It'll help you to be big in a crushing place where the weights of the world, the flesh, and the devil just seem like they're pushing down on you. And if you're really wanting to be like Jesus, there'll be a power within you that'll push back. And you'll be big in a crushing place. But just as important, you'll be small in a big place. Sometimes God doesn't want us to be the big man on the block. Sometimes he wants us to be the little runt in the corner. Sometimes he doesn't want us to always be making the big promises. Sometimes he wants us to be just the little guy who will listen as someone else listens. Well, there's some examples of these. I mentioned the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, in his prison epistles, naturally he wrote those from prison. How much hope and trust and help have you gotten from the book of Ephesians? You know, we do marital counseling out of the book of Ephesians. Had Sunday school lesson today. I mentioned the book of Ephesians, Philippians. Oh, I love Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, telling us how to think and how to control our thinking. He wrote that from prison. Colossians was written from prison. And Philippi was written from prison as he was trying to speak for the runaway slave of another man. All that because he wanted to be like Jesus. You think that was easy? In the flesh, I would say probably not. John on Patmos is another example of someone who I believe wanted to be like Jesus. You know, John spent probably more time close to Jesus than any of the other apostles did. He was the one, the Bible tells us, had his head leaning on the breast of Jesus at the Last Supper, when Jesus instituted the Lord's table. And he had a special relationship with the Lord Jesus. He ends up on the Isle of Patmos because of his relationship with the Lord Jesus. And because of his word of his testimony, he just wouldn't shut up. He just kept telling people, you need Jesus, you need Jesus, you need Jesus. If you're not telling people they need Jesus, then either you're a ways away from him, or you're not telling people what he's trying to tell you to tell people. Stephen, I mentioned him all ago, got stoned. He got stoned. But out of him dying a horrible death, the Apostle Paul was saved. The greatest evangelist the world's known outside of Jesus was the Apostle Paul. And it happened because Stephen wanted to be like Jesus. And then as Paul grew in the Lord, he wanted to be like Jesus. What a great exchange. John Bunyan, you don't hear much about him anymore. He used to be talked about all the time. They used to say that the two books you ought to have in your library, if you don't have any more, you ought to have a King James Bible and you ought to have the story of Pilgrim's Progress. First time I read Pilgrim's Progress is when I was in the hospital from back surgery in Austria, of all places. What a book. What a book. What an understanding. What an understanding. Joseph, young man, sold into bondage at the age of 13, I believe it was, and then just bartered back and forth on his way to Potiphar's house and all the things that happened. And we find him later saying, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Why? Why, Joseph? How could you say that? Well, I just made up my mind I want to be like Jesus. I think you could interpret his life that way. So if you want to be like Jesus, are you willing to pray these thoughts? Are you willing to pray, increase my faith? When you know that praying that is going to, God's going to allow trials to come into your life. Things will come up against you you never dreamed of. They'll come from unexpected places. Trials and tribulations and tests All those things will come into your life when you pray, increase my faith. When you pray, are you willing to pray, keep me humble? Keep me humble. And I do believe we ought to pray, Lord, keep me humble, but don't let me know it, lest in knowing it I become proud and fall from my humble position. Is walking a razor edge sometimes when you're thinking about humility and about being humble and humility. But you know, humility sometimes comes with a very humiliating experience. And God pulls us down from where we thought we were, shows us where we really were, where we really are. Are you willing to pray tonight, Lord, keep me humble? Another thing, are you willing to pray, draw me nearer? We sing a song, draw me nearer. Dear Lord, draw me nearer. Nearer to thy bleeding side. I don't know exact words of it. Are you willing to pray tonight, draw me nearer? Sorrows come when you start saying, draw me nearer. The devil doesn't want you nearer to the cross of Christ. He doesn't want you nearer to that empty tomb. He doesn't want you nearer to the Word of God. He doesn't want you nearer to lost people that you're willing to share the gospel with. And he'll bring every kind of sorrow into your life he can. That everything that God will allow him to bring into your life, he will, in order to shut you up. Make me pure. Make me consecrated. Make me holy. Holiness starts on the inside, works its way out. Think on this. I believe that when it comes to holiness, God uses fire. When I was living still in Colorado Springs, no, maybe it wasn't either, it was in Fort Collins, I started working with gold. Of course, gold didn't cost then what it costs now, and I made several things. I made the tie tack I wear, and I make the ring that I have. My wife has a ring that I made her, several of them actually that I made her. And some people have a 401k, and we have a 14-karat K. But I learned that when a refiner is working with gold, if he doesn't have all the newest of equipment, he'll take a ladle or something that will hold that gold, and he will melt it over a fire, and then he will draw off what they call dross. You look down into that gold, and it looks cloudy. It looks like it has a scum on it. It looks like pond water or something, and you take an instrument, you take something metal, and you draw that dross off the gold, and it begins to take on a shine. And as it takes on the shine, you draw off more gold, more dross, and you draw off more dross. And pretty quick, you look in there, and it's like looking in a mirror. And when you pray, Lord, keep me pure. Make me purer than I am right now. You're going to go in the fire. Listen to this. The refiner worked hard with his gold. It was his heart's desire. His own image to behold as he held it in the fire. At first, the gold resisted him, and he intensified the heat. At first, the metal was so dim, but the dross soon would retreat. Behind the heat there came a glow that all the world could see, and all who saw would surely know the furnace was the key. To make his vessel really right, one to be admired, God patiently labors day and night, and the furnace is required. Still, when God looks into the fire, he longs to see his face. If pleasing him is our desire, the fire is the only place. Led through furnaces of life, the saints of God have shined. Through all the heartaches, pain, and strife, our witness is refined. If gold could speak like you and me, it would scream, I hate the fire. Through all the heartaches, pain, and strife, I hate the fire, but with the furnace would agree. There God builds his desire. So the fires of life are God's embrace, his notice that we're too dim. But whenever Christ can see his face, our upward glance finds him. There'll be fires, there'll be trials, there'll be tests, there'll be heartaches, there'll be hardships, and we need to understand that. When we pray, make me pure, watch for the furnace, expect the furnace. When we say, give me patience, understand the Bible teaches us that tribulation worketh patience. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, listen, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Two things. Number one, John, when he wrote this, was writing a very literal thing. And I believe, like Job did, that with my own eyes, I'm going to see the Lord Jesus. I believe I'll see the wounds that are there because of my sin. I believe I'll see those things. The prints in his hand, the ripped hole in his side, the crown marks on his head. I'll see all those things, and I'll recognize all those things. And when that happens, I believe I'll be instantly 100% like Jesus. But I don't believe it has to wait till we see him that way. I believe today that as I see him in the scriptures, as I have studied and I meditated on the things of God, I believe I see him, and I believe in seeing him in this book, I'm made more like he is. The world doesn't need to see me, but oh, how they need to see the Lord Jesus. I would be like Jesus. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reasons why. The dark threads are as needed in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. If you want to be like Jesus, you can be. You can be when you're willing to pray those kinds of things. Somebody says, but I want joy. You know, real joy, I believe the Bible teaches, is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the better the relationship, the more joy that there really is. And we get the idea that, even it's so wanted. Happiness and glee and joy in our life is such a thing. It's even part of the Declaration of Independence. The Bible testifies that we're guaranteed that. But we have to find it. Pursuit of happiness is guaranteed. But we have to find it, and few people do. Very few people really find joy in this life. But let me say, you'll never have real joy when you're discontented, discontinued, contentment taken away. You'll never have joy when you're discontented. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, one of the first four or five verses of scripture I learned when I first got saved, the man that won me to the Lord said, this will get you out of a fix a lot of times, Brother Bill, if you just really remember this and recite it to yourself once in a while. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For he, Jesus, hath said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 15, the Bible says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. 1 Timothy 6:8 says, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. I wonder tonight if we were to pass a paper around, and on that paper your instruction was to write one time in the life of Jesus that he showed that he was absolutely discontented. You want to be like Jesus? You really want to be like Jesus? You're going to have to find a place of contentment. And then we could ask ourselves the question tonight, what is joy? You know, people say it's Jesus first, others second, you last. Brother Lacey used to say it's Jesus first, you last. It's Jesus first, others second, and you're out of the picture altogether. I think there's some truth to that. But you know, usually joy is found in something, we think joy is found in something that we don't have. Now stop and think about that. Usually joy is found in something we don't have. What do sick people want? They want healing. They want something they don't have. What does a cripple want? He wants to be able to walk. You say, well, do you hold that again? No. I'm just telling you, if we want real joy, if we want to live like Jesus and be like him, we're going to have joy in spite of the things that we want that we don't have. Blind man wants to see. I think often about my grandson. He could wake up any morning and his whole world be black. Not a happy thought. It causes me to pray for him. Blind people would think that if I could just see, I'd be happy. I'd have joy. Poor people want wealth. And no one can really put a definition of what wealth is. Someone asked a banker one time, how much money is enough money? He said, a little more. That's how we are usually. Those that are unemployed want a job. They say, that's not always the fact. Sometimes those that are single want a mate. And one of the things that God has not yet agreed to causes several things to happen in our life if we don't moderate our life and ask the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit of God to control our life. First off, we'll become very, very frustrated. When we want something that God has not seen fit to give us yet, we become frustrated if we don't let Jesus take charge and take over. We become discontented. Not really happy anywhere. Used to love my job, now I don't love my job so much. Used to love my car, now I don't love my car so much. Used to love my spouse, now I don't love my spouse so much. Family used to be important to me, now not so much. Because we become discontented. Unhappiness. The actually opposite of what they really say that they want. They want joy and they exhibit unhappiness. And then wanting these things prior to the Lord's timing will actually destroy joy. It'll destroy joy in your life. And I'm here to tell you, you can't be like Jesus if you don't have joy. Well, how can I have joy, preacher? I think there are some things that make up a little bit of a recipe, maybe. And I'll probably get some of the ingredients in the wrong place. But I think you can have joy. Number one, if you realize the Lord Jesus loves you. Listen, the Lord Jesus loves you because of who you are. He loves you for you. He doesn't love you for your talent. He doesn't love you for your money. He doesn't love you for your expertise. He doesn't love you. He loves you for you. That ought to thrill our hearts. That ought to cause an Episcopalian to jump up and shout. You ever hear of contented cows? Carnation Milk used to advertise that their milk was milk from contented cows. And they did everything to make their cows contented. They kept them in the cleanest of places. They fed them with the best of feeds. They took care of them. If something was wrong, they got a veterinarian out there to take care. They wanted their cattle content because they knew that a contented cow will give more milk and a contented cow will give a better quality of milk. when you're contented, do you know you have a better service for the Lord? And the service, you'll do more things for the Lord when you're contented. When you have joy in your life, you'll do more things for the Lord Jesus than you ever thought you could do. You'll do more things and you'll do them better. You'll do them better. The Lord wants us to be content with Him. With Him. Not our religious activities. Remember Mary and Martha? They had Jesus in their house one day, and Jesus, the Bible says that Martha was busy about many things, and Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And when Martha complained, this is paraphrased, get her up and get her busy. She's making me do all the work. And Jesus said to her, Mary hath chosen the better part, just to be with Him, just to be with Him. Jesus wants us to be content with Him. Psalms 37, verse number 4 of our text says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So being happy with Jesus is one of the things on the way to being like Him. Recognize the Lord wants what's best for us. You remember we read in Romans in chapter 8 and verse number 28, and it's such a cliche almost anymore. We throw it out when someone else is having trouble, and we hate it when we're having trouble. But the book still says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We need to understand that God wants what's best for us. God desires our best. God is not a cosmic killjoy. God is not up there just trying to figure out how He can ruin our day. He wants us to be joyful, happy in all of our circumstances. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, we've used that a lot around here in the last 14 years. God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. See, sometimes we get to thinking about the nasty now and now so much that we forget about the end. What's our expected end? What does the Lord want for us down the road? I know one of the things He wants for us, and that's for us to be like Jesus. Or He wouldn't have arranged it so when we see Him in heaven, we see Him as He is, we're made just like Him. He wants to give us that expected end. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 55. Isaiah chapter number 55, beginning in verse number 8. And these are very familiar words, but sometimes we don't look at the verses beyond the ones we know and the ones following the ones we know. Verse number 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Listen, people who say that it's difficult to serve the Lord have lied to you. People who say it doesn't pay, and that word can be all kinds of jumbled up, but people who tell you that there's no profit, that there's no pleasure, that there's no good life in serving the Lord, they have lied to you. And way too many Christians have bought into that. You bump your head against something, you bump your head against something, and you say, this Christian stuff just doesn't work. Hey, listen, if you keep bumping your head into something, is that the only direction you know to go? Turn to the left, turn to the right, go around the thing, go over it, go under it. Don't just bump your head and complain to God that he's a bad God. God desires good things for his people. He wants good things for his people. And then if you'll go in your Bibles there in the book of Psalms, what a book, the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 84. Didn't we just come through this? It's funny how when you isolate a verse, it says so much. Psalms chapter 84, and look with me, if you will, in verse number 11 and 12. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Note this. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed or blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Still want to be like Jesus? I just believe the more we want to be like him, the closer we get to him, the more we rely on him, I believe the greater possibility there is for us to be like him, the greater power, the greater satisfaction, the greater happiness and joy, the greatest benefit to the cause of Christ, all come to be ours as we become more like Jesus. This afternoon, I was looking at my copy of I Would Be Like Jesus, and on the back of it, I found another song, and I'll not read all the song, but there's some good things in here. Praise God for good music. The name of the song is In the Secret of His Presence. In the secret of his presence, how my soul delights to hide. Oh, how precious are the lessons which I learn at Jesus' side. Earthly cares can never vex me, neither trials lay me low. For when Satan comes to tempt me, to the secret place I go. When my soul is faint and thirsty, neath the shadow of his wing, there a cool and pleasant shelter and the fresh and crystal spring. And my Savior rests beside me as we hold communion sweet. If I tried, I could not utter what he says when thus we meet. Only this I know, I tell him all my doubts. Only this I know, I tell him all my doubts, my griefs and fears. Oh, how patiently he listens and my drooping soul he cheers. Do you think he never reproves me? What a false friend he would be if he never told me of the sins which he must see. Would you like to know the sweetness of the secret of the Lord? Go and hide beneath his shadow. This shall then be your reward. And when you leave the silence of that happy meeting place, you must mind and bear the image of your master on your face. Do you want to be like Jesus? You can be. Starts out with salvation, trusting Christ, and then just saying yes to him and no to the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you get the power for all those things from this book. Amen. This book digested intellectually, spiritually, this book to be your diet at times. This book won't let you down. It won't let you down. But it has to be read, not just carried from place to place. Let's bow our heads, please.